Welcome to Card Not Cliff, episode 107. I'm Corey, and here's Daryl.
Yo.
Another week, another podcast about Magic the Gathering. There's so much to talk about. Every time a week goes by, there's just like a dumping of new stuff. I feel like we have to catch up, you know?
Yeah.
This week, we still have to finish up our picks for the Dominaria playables in Eternal formats, and now there are even more of them to kind of look through and sort of parse through and decide what else makes the list, makes the cut.
It's exciting.
But first of all, I want to start things off with a little bit of a conversation about this brand new format. Yes, brand new format.
Brawl.
Brawl, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure you can feel free to check me if I'm wrong. It is 30 life.
Uh-huh.
Can be multiplayer. You have a commander. You're a planeswalker or a legendary creature. Yep. Can be a commander.
Yes.
Same rules as commander with cards you can include in your deck. Fully singleton except for basic lands. No general damage.
That's correct. Yep. The ban list is the standard ban list.
That's the part I missed.
It's a little bit unclear right now as to where this will be played. I don't know. I would imagine it would be like a Magic Online format at some point. Not seeing stores support it yet, but it's early.
They said they were going to put it online with Dominaria.
Okay. All right. Cool. And I think that the real design or the real plan with this is that when Arena comes out, this is clearly going to be like the EDH on Arena, right? Since we're not going to have access to all of the cards older than Amonkhet, I suppose. Yeah. This will be our stand-in for EDH. Now, I think this is a great idea, first of all. I don't think there's any reason to complain about a new format, and I know we always find ways to do so. But to Commander is becoming a really expensive format. It started out as a casual format where a lot of players could get involved. They could build a deck for, you know, like under $100, but that is so not the case anymore. There are commander price spikes all of the time, and cards that just creep up in value. And before you know it, there's like $15 for a dang chromatic star, chromatic lantern, I should say. Yeah. And so,
yeah.
This is good.
Certainly, those, like, to kind of address your commander price concerns, those are certainly cards you can pick up when they hit standard. You know, if you weren't playing in standard, that's where it gets kind of tricky, because it's like, we all know that Chromatic Lantern and Coalition Relic and, you know, Mana Reflection, things like that are just really strong commander staples.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't, the thing about commander is, you don't lose a whole lot unless your deck's like a five-color deck. You don't lose a lot from not having, you know, Chromatic Lantern. Your two color deck, the mana base is fine without Chromatic Lantern. Your three color deck, you can still probably make it work without Chromatic Lantern. When you get to the four and five color decks, Chromatic Lantern is definitely one of those necessities, but you can certainly make your mana bases work without them, and Chromatic Lantern isn't always like what you want to be doing in a game of Commander, because at three mana, there are potentially more impactful plays depending on what color you're shooting. So, like, you know, and these are the same things that you'll have to work through with Brawl is, you know, we all kind of have a good idea of Commander.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of Battlecruiser Magic, trying to play the biggest and the baddest. But, you know, we have lower life totals, so aggro could be a thing. You could play Captain Lannery Storm and do, like, Treasure Beatdown and have Mono Red. But
yeah,
one might argue that...
card decks, too.
Yeah. One might argue that the mono red deck is less good because of the fact that you don't get to play maximum numbers of all of the good mono red cards. So you might want to look to two and three color commanders. You might want to look to planeswalker commanders. So you could end up with, you know, things like Vraska, like green black Vraska control or mid range. A lot of people I saw talk about Nico Bolas control, Scarab God control in Brawl. These are obvious deck types. Zakama ramp with a bunch of dinosaurs and all the ramp spells that you can get in the standard format with some removal and wraths, you know.
Yeah.
Dominar.
There's a lot that you can do with this. Let's just stop for 1 second because I want to just kind of go over like this is designed to be like a casual format was the plan, right? So that's kind of how it was introduced anyway, and that's very much like how Commander started, or EDH started, I suppose. And very, very quickly, this becomes super competitive. So immediately our minds are going to like, okay, mono red aggro. Like, yes, that could be a casual deck, but it's also like, let's just kill them as fast as we can kind of deck. Whereas I hope that at least we can enjoy a few months of this being like, let's just play the fun deck. You know, like Admiral Beckett Brass is a pirate general, and we can't really make a good pirate deck in Standard that uses Admiral Beckett Brass, but we can in Brawl.
Play all the pirates, So, like, I think you're going to see the Brawl scene sort of do the same thing that the Commander scene did, which is, you know, there are people that, you know, play various degrees of Commander decks. You know, there are people that do play, like, maxed out, fully pimped out, foiled, Imperial Seals, dual lands, you know, competitive EDH.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, the minority.
Yeah.
But a lot of people play, like, 75% style decks. Like, you know, they do have the, you know, Mana Crypts and Demonic Tutors and, like, just really super powerful broken cards that, you know, you really only get to play with in Vintage. And they have some combos, but it's not, like, the only thing their deck is built to do. They can also do some, like, random stuff.
Yeah.
And you can sort of decelerate down the scale from there. And then depending on what you like to do as a player, you can sort of push yourself, whether you're all in on being degenerate and just, like, playing the most busted deck, or you're like, all right, well, I'll play Beckett Brass Pirates, or, you know, Zakama Dinosaurs, or something like that.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess it remains to be seen. I mean, the deciding factor is what's on the line. You know, if they're, like, big tournaments, like, people are going to, like, they're going to min-max this. Is that the right terminology?
I think so.
They're gonna like do all the research they can to make sure that they have the best deck. 60 cards is not a lot of cards for a format like this, so you really can control a lot of variables.
Yeah.
And with such a limited card pool, there will be best choices in Commanders. It will be pretty clear as to what that is.
Absolutely.
So I can see like some mono blue like Kefnet decks or like some mono red like Chandra decks like being really good. Like the more colors, the trickier in this format, obviously. Because of the non-basic limited to one.
I could see, like, what the heck's the new card? Give me a second, I gotta look at the spoiler.
Describe it. Oh, from the new set?
Yeah.
Oh, man, okay, I haven't even gone there.
Joda Archmage Eternal?
Yeah.
That just makes all of your cards playable with Wooburg. So you just play, like, all of the biggest, dumbest cards in Standard. And your general just lets you start casting on turn 5. So it's like your general is like multiple rampant growths. If your mana base is built properly.
Yeah.
Because like your general comes down on turn 4. It's a 4 power creature. So it's like it can beat down. And that's not unreasonable or unrealistic.
What is that? What's the cost of that card?
It's 1 in Jeskai. So 1 red, white, blue, 4/3 flying human wizard. You may pay white, blue, red, black, green, rather than pay the mana cost for spells that you cast.
Wow. Yeah, I see that. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you can work out the hard part's going to be working out the appropriate mana base for that card.
Oh, you know what? You can't. That can't be your general, though.
Yeah, it can. It's a legendary creature.
Well, so it can, but you're never going to be able to produce black or green symbols in that
deck.
That's
false, because that's the color identity of the card, because it's printed on the card. Like, Ramos Dragon Engine is a 5-color commander. Because the Wooburg symbols are printed on the card.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can play 5 colors.
Okay.
And
all
so
right.
You'll always be able to Wooburg out your spells. So you'll just be able to pick the best 5-color bombs. And if you can figure out how to protect this card, like you play the new enchantment that gives like your legendary permanent hexproof or something.
Yeah.
Then your opponent can never really kill your guy. And you just get to start, like, paying Wooburg for giant monsters.
Yeah, man. The new set's just got a wealth of creatures that you could choose from for the commander decks. There are tons and tons of gold legends. And, like, with the emphasis being on legendary creatures, this is really, like, the perfect time to roll such a thing out. But beyond that, it makes it so that a lot of these legendary creatures that are, like, really interesting, like, in the standard legal format, they don't really see any play in competitive constructed formats. But, you know, maybe they show up in EDH, like, randomly every once in a while. But this is a format designed for those cards. So, like, if you open a pack with a Grand Warlord Rata in it, and you're like, well, that's an interesting card, it's kind of cool, I might throw it into a green-red deck, a commander deck, this is like a build around that some people are seeking. You know, it's like it puts value to all the like penny and 10-cent cards that you draw out of the packs, and it's like, well,
absolutely.
At least I'm inspired to do something with this piece of cardboard rather than just put it in the recycle bin.
Yeah, like another creature that, you know, is just like that. There are a couple of them, like Ariel, Knight of Windgrace. It's a 4-mana, 4/4 vigilance that creates knight tokens, and then you can pay a black, and tap X untap knights you control to destroy target creature with power X or less. So, like, if this thing lives, you get to generate 2/2s, and then once you kind of get enough 2/2s in play, this thing is a removal spell for your opponent's commanders. So, like, if your opponent's not playing a control deck with a bunch of removal and doesn't draw their removal spell for your 4/4, then you just get to, like, eat your opponent's creatures as you generate value.
Nice.
So, yeah. I mean, there's definitely cards like that that, like, functionally have space to develop in this format.
Well, looking back, I guess I'd be more interested at this point in what you think would kind of gain stock based on this format existing from previous sets, because with Dominaria coming in, there aren't many opportunities to kind of like collect some of those cards at the ground level because they will be coming into the format as the format begins. But right now, if you do like a search for legendary and standard legal, first of all, you get a lot of enchantments and artifacts that you couldn't use as your general, but there are lots of really kind of inspiring planeswalkers out there that are easy to forget, like Dovin Bon or the Blue-Black Tezzeret are all standard legal cards that might be interesting to try out. Watley.
Yeah, so Watley, I think the green-white Watley is a good one.
Yeah.
But, like, the planeswalkers as commanders thing doesn't really give you a lot of flexibility. Like, they kind of, like, force you into an archetype. Like, Dovin Bon kind of forces you to play control.
Yeah. Well, Tezzeret kind of forces. Control.
Yeah, I mean, Tezzeret forces you to play artifact control. Uh-huh. So, like, it doesn't give you, like, the flexibility for deck building.
Sure.
Which some people value. Some people are just like, nah, I want to play control, and I just want the best thing to, like, make my opponent's day miserable. And sometimes it's Dovin Bon because you, like, make a static orb, and you're just like, all right, cool. Play him again. Draw a card. Go.
Yeah.
But, you know, then the question becomes, well, would you rather have Dovin Bon or one of the Teferis?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, what do you value the most? So it kind of becomes, that's the discussion. And so it's really interesting, like, the format itself. It's just, like, really hard to determine, like, what you really want your deck to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fun of it. You get to determine what you want your deck to be doing. At this point, you have all the choices in the world, but in 2 weeks after this format begins, it's like, oh, okay, now a metagame has formed, and you just can't do X, Y, and Z, right? So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, Magic players are competitive. There's no such thing as a casual format in this game, and I can see this being very, very spiky. But
yeah,
with that, if we go to understand it that way, then, you know, that's what it becomes, and we have fun with it in the competitive environment that it is.
And I was going to bring that up. It's like, you know, some people, like, their casual concept of a format is like, how can I build the most powerful thing doing this thing I want to do?
Right.
Like, I always want to do this. What is the most powerful this I can do? You know, and if it becomes, you know, it's too oppressive and so you want to be casual, you might dial it back a bit, but you, like, they're just like generic cards that, you know, most people want to play. Like, I always want to be on the distributing end of a cryptic command and commander. Or, like, I always want to be playing, like, Cruel Ultimatum. Or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, people will find cards that there's, like, I want to play with, like, this generic subset of cards. And that'll sort of lead them in the direction of figuring out how to build the deck.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that Baral is banned in CEDH, or Commander 1v1 Online, I should say.
Yeah.
However, it is legal in this format. I mean, obviously, it's totally different in
that
circumstance.
Is Baral actually banned? Did that happen?
Wasn't it?
No, Emrakul was banned.
Emrakul was banned, okay.
So right. Baral is still legal, but the main way that Baral got played was Baralimorph.
Yeah.
And now they don't have a combo finish like that. It's just, like, strictly worse than the Timna and X decks.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Maybe that'll see some play in the standard legal version. I don't know.
It's possible.
I'm excited to give this a shot. In fact, I think I might throw something together and do a test run of this before it's even a format. Interested to try it. Started to build a blue-black Tezzeret deck myself, actually. So we'll see where that goes. All right, man. With that, though, they did announce a buy a box promo that is exclusive to, like, literally buying a box. And that is a red and white commander. And this is kind of brewing up some controversy. Let me just explain what's going on here. And then, Daryl, I'd like to hear your thoughts on, you know, where you stand on this whole thing.
Sure.
When you buy a box from a local game store, you can get a copy of Firesong and Sunspeaker, a 4-red-white legendary creature Minotaur Cleric that is a 4/6. Red instant and sorcery spells you control have lifelink. In fact, I think we talked about this one already.
We did, yeah.
I'll read it right here. Whenever a white instant or sorcery spell causes you to gain life, Firesong and Sunspeaker deals 3 damage to target creature or player. So, interesting card, 6 mana, 4/6, like, the stats aren't, like, the most amazing thing in the world. Probably won't see any standard play. However, it very much is likely to be a Brawl commander, right? So, if you can only get this by buying a box, we've done this in the past. We've had some really crappy cards in the past that are exclusive to buying a box or reading a book or something. But we also have, like, Mana Vault, which is a very expensive card. Where do you stand on this being an exclusive to local game store booster box purchase?
It doesn't bother me that much. I don't think it's going to be a huge commander because, unfortunately, after reading it again, your red spells don't trigger it. So, like, your red spells get lifelink, but they don't trigger you dealing damage.
Yep.
So, like, I don't think this is going to be, like, El Busto commander and, like, completely unbeatable. But, like, it's a cool card that people will want if they like to collect things. And so you do kind of create that void. So the problem you will run into, which you've already mentioned, is like, well, what happens if one of the buy box promos is basically like Mana Crypt? Where people just realize, like, holy crap, this card's stupid. And to be competitive, you have to own it. And then to be competitive in Standard, if it's not printed in the set, you have to own 4 of them.
Right.
That will cause problems.
Now, a lot of people have made that, you know, expressed that concern, but a lot of the same people have mentioned, like, yeah, there's very little chance that this card sees play in Modern or Standard, right? But the point is still that it's happening, and it scares some people because of the what we know about, like, Mana Crypt and things like that. Maybe there's something that gets printed in the future that does happen to be constructed playable. Maybe it's just a matter of, like, why should we have to shell out for this one card to have, you know, have fun playing Firesong and Sunspeaker? I don't know. But I'm on the side of, like, this card is just so far from standard playable that they might as well incentivize buying a box in a local game store at the expense of, like, one, like, very casual card.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that they don't run into the problem if they make a Mana Crypt.
Yeah,
because if they make a Mana Crypt and this is the only way you can get the card, and you need 4 of them to play Standard, they just have to ban it immediately.
Right, or reprint it somehow.
Well, yeah, or print it in en masse.
Yeah.
And the card itself will be more expensive than the box.
Sure.
You know, so, like, you don't want to run into that. And some revisionist stuff about what we were talking about earlier, Brawl is banned in 1v1.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, so that's my bad. And one of our viewers said that, and I decided not to pay attention, but I wanted to look it up myself so that I can eat my crow. But,
Stormcrow.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's... I don't have a problem with there being buy-box promos.
Yeah.
I have a problem with there being buy-box promos that you can only get by buying a box. This one is fine, because we don't think it's going to break Standard wide open, you know?
Right.
But what happens if they print, like, an undercost of 3-mana Planeswalker that's actually just, like, better than Liliana?
They won't. You know, they've got to be really careful with these, obviously, and I'm sure that Wizards is aware of that.
Yeah. That's the concern. If something gets through that they didn't, you know, they didn't put it together A plus B with a combo or something like that, or it's just like, you know, they're like, yeah, these stats are pretty bad, it won't see play, and actually just turns out to be insane, they will have a problem.
Well, but here's the thing. There are 3 pluses with this. Number one, it incentivizes buying from your local game store, right? You don't get this from Walmart, which is what we need to do. Wizards has been pushing Walmart sales lately, and they give all sorts of like weird exclusives to Walmart. This is one that's intended for the little guy, right? So that's cool. Yeah. Number two, this is a really great collectible. Like, you know, while it may not be super playable, like, it's shiny, it's flashy, and it's unique, and that makes it collectible. So maybe yeah, it is worth money purely on its collectible or collectability.
Sure.
Number three, you don't have to pull this guy in your standard packs. That's good news. I don't want to see this crap, you know? I'd much rather have, like, something playable, so.
I mean, this card's got to be good and limited, right?
Sure. Yeah, it's probably fine and limited. I don't know if it's really that good and limited.
I mean, I guess it depends on how many white instants and sorceries gain you life.
Yeah.
Because, like, giving a red spell's lifelink is a very real thing. Like, giving pyroclasm lifelink is a big deal.
Yeah, but for 6 mana, though, you know? It's like, this guy doesn't have anything on his own. Like, if you play this as your curved topper, and then you're out of cards because you're a red deck, it's like, now you have a 4-6 that you paid 6 mana for, and then maybe you can get some extra, like, value out of, like, a top deck, like, Lightning Strike or something, you know?
Sure.
So, it's a thing. It's a card. Like, I would be super surprised. I would eat all of the crows if this gets played in Standard.
You eat the crow storm.
I would eat the murder of crows.
Yeah, you would eat the crow storm full of storm crows.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't think this is going to get played in Standard. But like, it's not like if this were to show up in my pack in Limited, I'd be like, yeah, this is totally a fine rare to like to draft and like pick up a few instants and sorceries along the way that are going to gain me some life or get a free lightning bolt or something like that and just move on with my day. I'm not like Windmill Slam first picking it, but I'm not disappointed that I opened this card.
Yeah. Maybe my logic is wrong on this too, but when you think about like a booster box, like there are only so many mythic rares in a booster box too, right? So like all the best mythic in the set is not going to appear one per booster box. So this is less rare than a mythic.
Sure.
Right? Kind of. You know, because they're still going to sell packs. Like, you can get them
in other places. Yeah, it's less rare than a specific mythic. I'll give you that.
If there's one per box guaranteed, like, that's about the same rarity as, like, most rares, is it not? I mean, sometimes you see two of the same rare in a box. Sometimes you see none of them, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's really all that scarce. So, whatever. Yeah. Anyways, I'm on board with this. I think it's a great idea. I think you just got to be careful, and I'm sure they're aware of that. So,
yep.
All right, moving on. There's one more thing announced as far as Dominaria stuff, and that was the FNM promos are coming back. That was told to us back in February, but we are looking forward now to the release of these promos with Dominaria.
These are all insane.
They are insane, and the coolest part about this, Daryl, is there's not just one promo per FNM. The stores are going to receive all three of these, and they're going to decide how they want to distribute them based on their tournament structure. So the promos are Opt, which has its, like, actually the same art as the set art, which is going to be in Dominaria, kind of like an evergreen card now, much like Naturalize or something.
Yeah.
But this, like, the border, the frame is kind of, like, transparent. You can sort of see the art through the frame, which is
very similar,
cool.
Very similar to Jace's Spellbook.
Yeah, it looks like Jace's Spellbook. Also kind of looks like the Plane Chase, like, color-shifted cards in that, like, it's sort of like a wash, like, on the frame. And then we've got the Wizards of the Coast, or the Magic the Gathering, I should say, Planeswalker symbol as the watermark on the card.
Yeah. So,
very cool. Now, interestingly enough, it does not include the horizontal line in the text box. Probably a non-issue. It probably doesn't really matter at all, but I don't know. It's kind of different that we now have an opt without it and opt with it with this very same art.
Yeah.
And there's no reminder text for Scry, so they're going to minimize the text, I suppose. But looks great. This art, first of all, just like even the set art, is awesome. It's way better than the stupid pirate one that I have to run right now. So I'll definitely be looking to get a couple of these guys.
I think this is just the best opt art. Like, I wish I could get art. I wish I could get this art on, like, old school border.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's like Teferi standing in front of a statue of himself, or either, like, maybe Teferi standing in front of, like, some avatar of himself. I don't know. But it's very cool. It's very epic looking. And the art is just beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, another one. Before we move on, though, let me just add that this set symbol is atrocious. Like, this is straight up, like, cold snap, like, level of confusion. That is a common. And it is it is not shaded in. It's just black border around a white image.
Wait. This is a common? Dude, this set symbol is garbage.
Yeah,
wow.
It's bad, isn't it? But look at the next one. Cast Down is an uncommon.
Yeah,
that's what an uncommon
looks
like.
This card I want to talk about.
Yeah, tell us what it does first.
The one in a black for an instant. Destroy target non-legendary creature.
Ah, interesting. Kind of like
this
a Go for the Throne, huh?
This card, I think, has some modern implications. as like one or two, once you kind of scroll past your fatal pushes. So the question is, in Grixis,
yeah,
is it easier to run this than Termini? I don't think the answer is yes, but I could be wrong. If you're just straight blue-black, though, this might be the removal spell you're looking for. So there is a subsection of creatures that does it in there. If you go awkward, it doesn't kill Thalia or Baral or Tasker.
Yeah, Baral, I think, is the biggest one. Not killing Tasker is a big deal, too, because there's a lot of removal that can't kill Tasker. So when you're two-mana removal, you better be able to kill it. But there's not a lot of Tasker right now.
There's more Gurmag Angler than Tasker, I'll say that much. And so the question is, what other legends am I not thinking about?
That this doesn't kill. Brawl's a big deal. That's an important one.
Yeah, I mean, Brawl and Thalia are both a very big deal.
What other legends are you thinking? Well, there are two Thalias. One of them, both of them see play.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I can't think of too many in Modern, really. There's,
They're Gadot all, Teague. Like, Bristol Brand.
Yeah,
they're all, like, Brand. Broken-ass combo legends, like Kiki Jiki. Yeah. You know, the busted stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so this doesn't seem like a horrendous option at two mana.
Sure.
Because it beats Go for the Throat. It's a problem of not being able to kill the artifact creatures.
Yeah, absolutely. It is much better than Go for the Throat.
But being able to kill the artifact creatures, you do lose the functionality against Tasker, the big three that we talked about. But I think that, giving up that functionality is much better of a surrender than giving up being able to kill anything that's an artifact.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to cast... it's easier to cast than Victim of Night, which, kills everything, but black-black is a real cost.
Yeah.
You can fetch a basic swamp and a basic island and play this on turn two instead of having to take a shock or start with a tar pit or something like that.
Yeah.
Those are all very real costs. What other, two-mana removal is there?
We already said Terminate. There's, Go for the Throat, Terminate are the big two.
Victim of Night is, a close third.
Sure.
There's, Abrupt Decay, but that does a totally different function, so it's, the same zip code.
This is cool because the decks that it's got non-hits in it. Like, when you're playing against Tasker decks, they've also got, Death Shadow. So there's always something you can use this on. Whereas, Go for the Throat, against Affinity, there's nothing, And against, Tron, you're dealing with, I can't deal with their Wyrmcoil engines, which is pretty significant. But there's, the worst-case scenario is you have this against Storm, and you want to kill a Baral, but you can't. That's the biggest issue I can see with this card.
But, I don't think this is a 4-0. I think it's a 1-0 or a 2-0.
Sure.
And if you just happen to be in the spot where, you have, 10 removal spells against Storm, because you probably have, 4 Bolt, 2 to 4 Push.
Yeah, you've got Push if you have this card.
Yeah, one of these and a Dismember. So you're in the 8 to 10 removal spell range. You could also be playing Terminate, depending on how greedy you are or how you want your mana mix to look. And so, if you just happen to draw this one of that, can't kill Brawl, I think you just shrug, right? You're just like, got me. I got myself this time. Okay. But,
Or you hope they didn't play Brawl, they played Goblin Electromancer. In that case, you can kill it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I think that the downside of, I think this can see play. I don't know if it will.
Okay.
But, I'm interested in something that can kill pretty much everything.
Let's keep on moving. This is, like I said, we're going back to the original point here. This is one of the three. This is 2 out of 3 FNM promos, and the art is great. It's a very, very cool card. Who's the artist on this one? I've never...
Bastion? I think new artist.
Artist. Just knocked out of the park. This person is just totally being fried out of existence here, and their pieces of their head are flying away.
Yep.
But same treatment for this one, the kind of alternate foiling and sort of shaded in text box with the magic symbol in it. Very cool stuff. The third one, though, we should talk about this one because it kind of pertains to Brawl. This is an uncommon commander. Though all of the FNM promos are listed as P for promo on the bottom, obviously. They do have the set symbol, though. Shanna Sisse's Legacy, green and a white for a 0/0, can't be the target of abilities your opponents control, not straight up hexproof. And it gets +1/+1 for each creature you control. So it counts itself. It's a 1/1 itself.
So this card is much less good than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Because I definitely thought it had hexproof.
Yeah.
And I was really excited about it. And then I read it again. And I'm like, oh. So it just dies to everything except for Chandra.
Yeah, it's actually very vulnerable. There are a few things that it, like, actually prevents from happening to it. And that's, like, in Standard, there's, like, Baffling End and Cast Out and Ixalan's Binding and things like that.
Chandra and Obnixilus, that's not a thing. Baraska.
Yeah. But all the removal can kill it. It's Fatal Pushable.
Yeah, that's kind of boo.
Anyways, this one looks really cool, though. I mean, if you're going to go out and build a Brawl deck with it, you might as well get the cool FNM promo version.
Yeah, FNM foil promo version. Yeah, absolutely.
So you'll have all three of those to choose from at FNM. Like I said, it's determined by the store owner who's going to, you know, how they're going to distribute them. But it's kind of neat that there are choices. Unfortunately, what that means is if there's a month where we've got like a Fatal Push type promo, that's going to be in high demand and you're going to like win an FNM and get shafted with like the like Sisse's Legacy promo instead. And they're like, oh, crap. Okay.
Yeah.
But so with everything good, there's a bad thing. So
yeah, store championship. Continuing on here, Steel Leaf Champion is the promo. Looks pretty boss. That's the green 5/4 that can't be blocked by creature with power 2 or less. And if you win the whole thing, you get this baller playmat. Like, this playmat looks great. I'm gonna pull it over onto the screen of the Corey's face.
Yeah, like Teferi, really cool.
Teferi looks very unimpressed by whatever it is you think you're doing here.
Yeah, he looks like Idris Elba gunslinger from the movie.
Fair enough. I don't know what that is. But, like, Teferi looks unimpressed. And I think that playmat looks awesome.
Notably, this Steel Leaf Champion is kind of like a preview card for the set because it's going to come out as this store promo before Dominaria is even released yet. So that's pretty awesome that everybody gets this. This is kind of backwards from the way it used to be. It used to be like top 8 got like the Glorybringers and stuff that they were doing, the full art Glorybringers, and everyone get like a full art like uncommon that didn't get played. This is like a very playable rare that everyone's going to get for just attending.
Yeah.
So it says the week of April 2nd. April 2nd is a Tuesday, I believe. It's a Monday.
Is not a Tuesday, it is a Monday.
Monday. So this must be referring to like the weekend's events, like the 7th and 8th, but I'm not really sure how that all goes. So I suppose you can probably do it whenever you choose to have your store championship.
Yeah, whenever you so please, yeah.
So then going on, there's even more. Open house April 14th through 15th. That's a weekend where you kind of bring your friends out to the store and you get a little promo for teaching them how to play Magic. They will give you a full art Llanowar Elves with alternate art from the set, which looks very, very cool. It appears to be foil, too. Oh, yeah, it is, because it's got the hollow symbol on it.
Yep.
So that's awesome. And then they also spoiled the art for Llanowar Elves from Dominaria, which we already talked about was part of the set. Also very cool art for this card.
Yeah, I like it.
And then last but not least, no, actually there are two more things. The League... when you participate in the Standard League, 30-card deck, you start with a 30-card deck and you build it pack by pack, week by week as you go along. It starts on April 30th. You'll pick up a Zalfrin Void, which looks absolutely stunning. It is very, very cool. This is a non-basic land. When it enters the battlefield, you scry one, and it can tap to add a colorless mana to your mana pool. It is an uncommon.
Yeah.
I think this card has some modern playability. I mean, it seems like an Eldrazi Tron type of card to me.
I don't hate it. Eldrazi Tron is like a 1-up or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like not like a like non-basic land that you'd like really want to search for with an expedition map necessarily, but
no,
it doesn't suck to just like have it as another colorless source. There are just so many to choose from. It's hard to like say that this is the best one, but
yeah,
definitely a player in like a like mono brown EDH deck.
Yeah, oh yeah. All of the colorless EDHs are like, I want one, and I want to blink it.
Potentially like Standard control, too. I don't see why you wouldn't want to scry. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be fine. You're probably playing two-color control at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, some people back in the day played Radiant Fountain in your two-color control decks. Instead, you get to play Scry 1. And it comes into play untapped, so it lets you play your, like, Search for Azcantas and your...
Yeah.
Your S scatters and the gates and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't think it's wholly unreasonable.
Yeah, man. All right, draft weekend. Last promo that they spoiled this week was the Lemony Snicket Gin of the Lamp. Or, I'm sorry, Zahid Gin of the Lamp. Looks exactly like Lemony Snicket, though.
I was like, where the heck do we get Lemony Snicket Gin of the Lamp? All right.
If you participate in draft weekend, April 28th through 29th, you know, draft, the thing that we are going to do anyway, you can get this promo of Zahid Gin of the Lamp. So, yeah, this guy is, like, kind of unusual. Four blue for a 5/6 flying, which is, like, straight up Mahamadi Jin, right? But yeah. You can pay 3 and a blue and tap an untapped artifact you control rather than paying its mana cost. So he comes out of that artifact much like it was a lamp. So, Interesting. 4 mana, 5/6 is pretty strong. Like, you go turn 2, Mind Stone or something like that. And so turn 3 mana, Rock, turn 4 Zahid. Seems good.
Yeah. So, I'm not going to lie, the packs look gorgeous.
Yeah, they look really cool.
Yeah.
It looks like heaven.
It does.
It's like all up in the clouds and stuff.
Looks like Dominaria is the most delightful place in the multiverse.
Yeah, this is exciting. I like these sets that are just like magic themed, really. Like, this is just like good old classic, like magic nostalgia themed. Like, the Rivals of Ixalan and Ixalan were really cool at first, and I was thinking, yeah, it's gonna be really fun to go into this dinosaur land, but after a while, it's like you just like beat the theme over a head, or beat a dead horse, you know, I guess. And it's like, I'm just tired of seeing dinosaurs and vampires and stuff, and let's just have creatures. Let's just have interesting characters rather than forcing them to be dinosaurs and things. So this is going to be like a great reprieve from that sort of thing in Amonkhet and Ixalan. We're just going back to the good old fashioned. Like, this is the stuff that is the bread and butter of Magic.
This is where Magic came from.
These are the characters you love. Yeah. So the art on the packs looks great, by the way. They chose some really awesome arts with like some really like kind of story focused images, like characters, like looks like the old Jaya's on the cover of one, the Karn, there's a Teferi on the cover of one, and I'm not sure who the other two jokers are, but there's some kind of like birdman with a staff on one of them. But
Birdman cool stuff. Is probably Tashar.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there are a lot of Avens back in the day, and we kind of haven't seen Avens for a while, so that's exciting to see them back.
Yeah.
All right, man, I think we should move on, though. The last thing that we need to do before... Well, let's just take a quick stop on the Modern Classic and Standard Classic from last week, because there was an event. The main event was teams, so there's not much to really glean from that, but we can get the Modern Classic and the Standard Classic and such going. Yeah,
there's a Legacy Classic, too. Let's visit all of them.
But, yeah, just real quickly, we don't need to spend too much time on this. The Modern Classic was won by Elves, which I was just thinking the other day. I was thinking, Elves is probably a good choice right now. And I wanted to build it myself. I was mostly inspired by all the alternate art Elves that are showing up in the Elves versus Inventors deck, as well as the Dominaria deck. So there's like Dwinin's Elite is being reprinted. There's a new version of Llanowar Elves, obviously. There is a new version of Azuri, and there's also a new version of Elvish Archdruid, all with different art coming out in those decks. So if you really wanted a pimped out Elves deck, it's there for the taking.
That's where it's at.
I've seen Elves decks play green-red for Bloodbraid Elf, which just seems ridiculous. This one is just straight up green-white. Doesn't even have the 3 mana, like, deal the damage equal to another Elves creature in it, which is interesting.
No, it's just trying to play a one of Vizier Remedies for the Druid combo.
Yeah.
Because like you just get to all in them with Azuri after you Druid combo.
Yeah, he's got Westfield Abbey in this deck. How cool is that?
Ooh, I mean, a little Ormondal action?
It's basically like another combo option, because there are a lot of decks that just can't beat Ormondal.
Little Ormondal action? Ooh.
Yeah. So, I have to say, this deck is a good deck to get into, like, if you're just looking to play Modern for the first time, but holy crap, Cavern of Souls is the number one public enemy on the, like, must be reprinted or else, like, people can't play these decks list. $340 for a playset of these damn things. Online, it's $130 for a playset. I mean, come on, people.
Cavern's a bit rough.
It's like every tribal deck wants it, right? No matter what. Every tribal deck wants it. At least two of them. No?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very much a barrier to entry for these things.
Yeah.
All right. So Elves was in first place. Second place
Affinity,
Blue-White Control, Jeskai Control, Titan Shift, Green-White Hexproof, Amulet Titan, and Grixis Death Shadow. I looked at this Blue-White Control deck. He's got a main deck Timely Reinforcements. That's kind of odd, right?
Yeah.
I guess it's really good when it's good. And you can always get something off of it.
It's really bad when it's not, though.
Yeah.
This is kind of what I expected.
He's also got a very, like, split Wrath selection here. He's got Settle the Wreckage, one Supreme Verdict, and one Wrath of God to deal with, like, Meddling Mages and such.
Yeah, I was playing a Day of Judgment instead of a Settle the Wreckage, but yeah, that's all reasonable.
Settle the Wreckage is really cool against, like, Affinity when they, like, animate their man lands and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, to be fair, you're playing four Spreading Seas and five Land Destruction lands,
yeah.
So you don't really need Settle to hit their man lands, but...
Sure. I'm interested to see the Planeswalker suites in these decks. There's a lot of Gideon going around these days.
Gideon Druid is just really, really good with Jace. Like,
yes.
Like, yeah. Very, very, very good. Like, if you could afford to play a second in this format, I totally would. But you can't because Modern is muy, muy fast. But, like, Jace into Gideon is just so hard to beat. Like...
The Shaheen Serrani Esper control deck I've been playing at my local events, he plays four Jace and two Gideon Jura in the deck, and that's his Planeswalker suite entirely. So he's very much in on that plan. Four Jace is a little bit pricey for my budget, but also I'd rather like kind of diversify a little bit, so I put in some Gideon allies in place of two of them.
Yeah.
Maybe not the perfect switch.
Design. Yeah.
But it's been good. It's been really good. So I've seen Gideon and the Trials kind of like go in and out of these decks. It's kind of interesting to see the full two in this one. But Gideon the Trials, yeah. Gideon Ally, and Gideon Jura makes for a really nice brotherly trifecta there. And when you do Gideon of the Trials zero ability, it's really tough to beat through a Gideon Jura later on, which when it's plus two-ing every turn.
Yeah, especially if you have like removal or blockers, like it's a freaking nightmare.
So, looking down the list, there's nothing too unusual. There is a Sultai mid-range deck, but it's just about what you'd expect. Sultai is one of those things that people are trying to make happen for a really long time, and maybe Jace was the thing that did it. Well, this is a very expensive deck. Four Dark Confidant, two Jace Fringe Prodigy, one Scavenging Ooze, two Snapcaster Mage, four Tarmogoyf, one Nissa Steward of Elements. Hello. Four Liliana of the Veil, one Liliana of the Last Hope, two Jace the Mind Sculptor. Three Fatal Push, two Inquisition, four Serum Visions, three Thought Seize, two Abrupt Decay, one Hero's Downfall, two Maelstrom Pulse, and one Engineered Explosives. Basically just a giant pile of removal, value creatures, and like the most offensive planeswalkers you can ever be faced with.
Yeah.
Nissa's Steward of Elements seems like kind of interesting in this deck. I like it.
I mean, all your creatures are 2 CMC.
Yeah.
So you can play Nissa for 4. And always get stuff. Or you can play it for 3 and plus and still always get stuff.
Seems good.
So I looked like you were inspecting to make sure all the creatures were 2 mana. You're like,
well, I was trying to read it, but it's kind of cool with Jace, right? So like you can put a creature back on top of your deck with Jace and then Nissa it into play.
Correct. That is how that works. That is how that works.
Clever.
Oftentimes I've seen it played with like Courser of Proofings. So that you would know what the top card of your library is, and you activate this card and, you know, put a land or a creature into play and roll through your day.
That's pretty fancy. Yeah, I like that Nissa a lot. It shows up every once in a while in Modern. So it's kind of something to keep an eye on. I'd love to play it if I could find the right deck. I'm certainly not building this one.
No? That's too expensive?
This is a $2,500 deck.
A little rough. Do I have all Christmas on Mono? I am missing a Dark Confidant.
Oh my gosh, you know what? Speaking of having all the cards for this on Modo, we forgot to mention that we're sponsored by ManaTraders.com. If you want to play this deck, then you just sign up for a ManaTraders account and you can pick up the pieces that you don't have. I don't think you can really afford this deck with a ManaTraders account right now based on the steep price point, and none of the tiers will really get you enough credit for this one, but you can get most of it, and you can fill in the rest of the space. Maybe the mana, if you've got it. And I should be able to give it a shot. But ManaTraders.com, Card Knock Life is our promo code. Gets you 14% off. I should have said that at the beginning of the podcast. I apologize.
Yeah, this one's real tough because it's, you know, $200 for Tarmogoyf, 350 for Liliana, 200 for Jace. Engineer Explosive is like $50. Like this one's a little rough on the budget.
Yeah, man. Very steep. All right, we want to talk about this standard at all? Standard classic. Mono red aggro, red black Hazoret, Esper gift, blue black control, green white tokens, Esper approach, mono red aggro, blue black control. I have to say, I played blue-white approach on Saturday. I haven't played standard in a long-ass time, but I just threw together a deck because I had a friend in town. I convinced him to play, too. And I just got hosed, man. Esper approach, or blue-white approach, I should say, is really, really poor. But this one looks interesting. Esper approach has, like, a main deck, Nezahal, Primal Tide, 5 blue-blue for a 7-7, can't be countered. You have no maximum hand size. He's a Mystic Remora. Whenever your opponent plays a non-creature spell, you draw a card.
Really good, and you can discard 3 cards to exile it to protect it. That card is extremely good. Like, I've been playing the 5-color ramp deck just for funsies, and had that card in my sideboard. Uh-huh. And like, whenever your opponent taps out to like do something, you just slam Mastermind's Acquisition. You go get Nizzle, and your blue black opponent's just like, "Yep, can't beat that card." You just cast it on turn 5 or 6 after you cast that Our Promise.
Yeah.
Like, you have, like, 4 cards in your hand, and your opponent, like, your opponent has to have 3 removal spells to beat it if you have 4 cards in your hand. Because you draw on the 5th one, discard 3. Draw again when they try and kill again, discard 3. And so if they have the 3rd, you know, Vraska's Contempt, they get it. But, like, other than that, they are deep.
He's got main deck, Battle at the Bridge, which is an improvised spell. X and black, target creature gets minus X until end of turn, you gain X life. However, he has 0 artifacts to improvise with it.
Just paying for that guy.
Straight up paying for it, yeah.
Gain some life.
It's a good card. But the problem that I had with this deck was there wasn't enough cheap removal. And so if I didn't draw, like, a Fumigate, I was just dead. And so I guess, like, that helps a little bit because you can gain the life to like, mitigate the fact that you're playing it so late. But I'd almost rather just have, like, Baffling End or something. Sure. He does have Fatal Push because he's in black. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key, is getting Fatal Push with your Esper Approach deck. Like, you get Fatal Push and Vraska's Contempt and Zero Desire. We'll probably just battle at the bridge to kill Hazoret and stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Legacy, Daryl, anything?
Deathrite Shaman, Turbo Depths, Deathrite Shaman, Deathrite Shaman, Delver of Secrets.
Oh,
all right.
Hello.
Good talk. Really, the event was won by 4-color control, which is like the 4-color Deathrite Shaman, the slower deck that is has like some Delve threats sometimes, has Leovold and Kolaghan's Command, Jason Liliana. Usually comes with a couple basics, usually an island and a swamp to be able to play your most important cards through a Blood Moon. This top 8 was dominated by Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah.
3 Grixis Delver decks, the blue-red, like, Swift Spear Delver deck that's just, like, blue-red prowess. Elves is Deathrite Shaman deck. 4 Grixis Delver decks. I can't do math. And then the lone combo decks in Elves and Turbo Depths, which is also a Deathrite Shaman deck, but more leans on the Elves portion to glimpse the nature of them. But, 9th place Miracles, Death Dexes, Colossal Eldrazi, 4-color Deathblade, Mono Red Prison, Lands and Storm. So, like, a whole lot of Deathrite Shaman. In the team portion, Joe Bernal played against one of my friends. One of my friends, Kendrick Lentini, got 16th. His team got 16th in the team portion. He was playing Grixis Delver. Or he was playing Teemer Delver, like, had 3 Death Rites and, like, played a bunch of Hooting Mandrills and stuff like that with a bunch of Stifles. Kendrick was playing that. Let me go back to the page and I'll grab his team list here and reel that off real quick. But, I clicked on the wrong link.
Yeah, I think Steve was on that team too, who was I previously mentioned Steve on the podcast because I went to GP Indianapolis with him. He was probably playing Crack Clan Ironworks because that's his deck.
He, in fact, was playing Crack Clan Ironworks.
And
they had a gentleman, Kristen English, playing Black Red Aggro with them, the Beaumont Courier, Hazoret.
Cool.
The beatdown deck. But yeah, Kendrick's deck was 3 Deathrite Shaman, 4 Delver, 2 Hooting Mandrills, which is the 5 and a green 4/4 Delve Ape creature with Trample. You play that guy so you can beat Trinity Nemesis, because Trinity Nemesis only has 3 power, and Hooting Mandrills has Trample, so it blocks it, and they take 3.
That's what it's come to, huh?
Yeah. Like, that's how you beat Trinity Nemesis with these Delver decks, is either you fly over it or you have to trample through it. Yeah. But if they have, like, GTA or a sword or something, you're just screwed.
Yeah,
it's playable. 3 Tarmogoyf, 2 True Name, 18 lands with 4 Wasteland, 4 Brainstorm, 4 Daze, a Dismember, 4 Force, 4 Bolt, 4 Stifle, 3 Probe, and 4 Ponder, with some random Cyber cards, a Grafter's Cage, a Pithy Needle, 2 Grudge, a Counterspell, 2 Flusterstorm, 2 Pyroblast, 2 Surgical, a Jite, a Forked Bolt, a Life from the Loam for his Wastelands, and a Rough and Tumble. And yeah, like, Deathrite Shaman was just everywhere. And, you know, he played against Joe Bernal, and some folks talked to Joe Bernal, and, like, Joe Bernal is one of the, like, biggest fans of, like, blue-white X Stoneblade decks. And he just straight up said, like, Grixis Delver is just the best deck. Like, there's, if you're not playing Grixis Delver, you're just small.
Oh, yeah, I've been hearing that a lot.
Yeah, like, Deathrite Shaman is just a busted Magic card. And, like, enables the Grixis Delver deck to do a lot of, like, unfair things. Because, like, the problem with, like, Grixis Delver, like, that was, like, Canadian Threshold that evolved into Rug Delver, that evolved into Grixis Delver when Deathrite Shaman came out, and the Del Fatties, was that, like, before in the Threshold decks, your opponents didn't have a way to kill you quickly. Like, they had Tarmogoyf, Werebear, and Nimble Mongoose. Mm-hmm. So all their creatures were just, like, generic 3-power idiots, and they had, like, you know, a 6 or 7 turn clock. So you weren't dying quickly.
Yeah.
And so they just loaded to the gills and counter magic and stifles. Whereas now we have Delver Secrets, and we have, you know, Tarmogoyf and the Del Fatties and Trinity Nemesis. We have all these kind of faster and more resilient threats. So you're dying a little faster. So they have, you know, the same amount of counter magic, but the counter magic is now more impactful because you're dying faster because there are more efficient threats. And then Deathrite Shaman allows you to get multiple of those more efficient threats to the table. And with this big void, with a lack of a really distinct control deck with many sweepers, like, Miracles exists as a deck, but it's much worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's susceptible to Stifle because the Miracle trigger on the Miracle is susceptible to Stifle. Plus, like, having to fight through Force of Will and Daze early is very hard to do as the Miracles deck if you haven't fully developed your mana base. Makes the efficiency of these very powerful threats kind of speak higher volumes in format. So, but yeah, Grixis Delver, just with, like, the cards that are available to it, is just such, like, an insanely powerful deck that most people have determined that there's just, like, no reason to be playing something that isn't Grixis Delver with the Gurmag Anglers and Young Pyromancers, because those threats are just so good, and it's so hard to beat them, because Gurmag Angler requires you to have a big removal spell, like a Swords to Plowshares, which people just aren't playing, because most people are playing Grixis Delver. So if they're playing a hard removal spell, it's Fatal Push. Otherwise, they just have Bolts. And, like, if you're not playing white, you don't have Plow. And Fatal Push doesn't do it. And then you require, if you have the removal spells that kill Gurmag Angler, you also have to beat Young Pyromancer, who goes really wide. So, like, it's really hard to have the right answers for all those threats.
Yeah, man, it's stacked. I would be sad to see Deathrite Shaman go, because it's my favorite card in the game. One of, I should say. And I was really hurt when it was taken from me in Modern.
Yeah.
But for it to be banned in Legacy, what are you going to do with it? And it's a Commander card? All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to play it in Vintage if you play it. But, like, it's definitely too good for... It's borderline too good. Between Ataxian Probe and Deathrite, the Delver deck has just such strong... has strong reach. It can be fast.
Yeah.
The Ataxian Probe helps it start going wide early turn 2 with Young Pyromancer. Also gives you information. Like, there's a lot of good things going on in that deck, and I would be concerned to have it continue to be a thing.
Okay. All right, man. Well, let's transition. We got one more thing to talk about today. I think we ought to just limit ourselves to one more color as we work our way through Dominaria. We talked about white and blue last week. If you want to get caught up on what we said was interesting in those two colors as far as Eternal playability goes, check back to Card Knock Life episode 106. which you can find on our website, by the way, cardknocklife.com or cardknocklifepodcast.com. Hey, we miss one in white. There's a pretty significant one. We shouldn't go on before we talk about the new Baneslayer Angel. And there's not much to be said about it other than it's not a strict upgrade to Baneslayer Angel, but it does things that are interesting with other angel tokens and other angels. And that's Lyra Dawnbringer. White for a 5/5 legendary creature, obviously an angel. Flying first strike lifelink, like Baneslayer Angel, but instead of the protection from demons and dragons, other angels you control get +1/+1 and have lifelink. So when it attacks alongside a Geist of St. Traft, that makes that token, you know, swing for 10 points of life. I think merely swinging with a 5/5 flying first strike lifelink, that's enough to, like, really close out the game versus, like, really aggressive decks.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's going to be fine in standard. It's just not going to see any play until Vraska's Contempt and Ravenous Chupacabra both aren't in standard. Like, when we get down to, like, just Vraska's Contempt and Chupacabra rotates before that,
yeah.
I think we might see, or are they both in the same set? I think they're both in the same set, actually, because it's on Exelon. So, like, once all those, that mess rotates,
where same block,
it's just like, yeah, same block. Once you don't have Chupacabra and Vraska's Contempt gunning for it, I think it'll be a really playable card. But I think just right now it's completely unplayable.
Sure. I'm more concerned about, like, modern playability, but you're right. Like, this was exactly the card that you used as an example of why Chupacabra was a problem, right? Baneslayer Angel you talked about. So I can see, I mean, this is certainly going to be good. I don't see it not seeing play in standard. It's a very, very good card. I don't think it's going to have the same impact as Baneslayer Angel did when I was in standard. That was like a $50 mythic.
I think this card will see zero play.
You think so?
Yeah. Right. I think that, like, Chupacabra and Vraska's Contempt both will preclude it from seeing any play.
That could be. That could be. And this can be around for a long time with this set. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, once those rotate, I think it'll be fine. But
it may be a great sideboard option, though, for white decks against non-white decks, you know?
That I could buy. Yeah, that I could buy.
Which is the case for modern. Baneslayer Angel has been seeing some play lately in the sideboard of, like, white control decks, like blue-white control decks and things. And I've tried it myself. It's very good. The thing is this. Is it better for you to just have +1/+1 for, like, all your Restoration Angels or your Geist tokens? Or does the protection from demons and dragons really matter? And here's where I would miss it the most. It's when Stormbreath Dragon is cast against a blue-white deck, there's zero that you can do. There's nothing that you can do. But Baneslayer Angel gives you an opportunity to at least ignore it and attack through it and then gain 5 life to, like, offset the damage that you're going to be taking with it. So that is not a thing that is just totally irrelevant in modern. The demons, probably more so, right? Like, there's really no, like, Desecration Demon being played or anything for that matter. But Stormbreath Dragon, Thundermaw Hellkite, that kind of thing. There's even, like, talk of, like, Thunderbreak Regent being played, you know? Like, there's stuff. So I don't know that Lyra Dawnbringer is strictly better, but it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
So, okay, let's go on to black, though. Let's talk about black. So for this week, obviously we talked about Cast Down. We don't need to cover that one again. That's clearly going to be played in standard in some form. There's another black removal spell that I think has a good chance of being played. It's kind of interesting that we're getting both of these in the same set because they have the same mana cost. They're both instants. Vicious Offering seems really good to me. It's one in a black for a target creature gets -2/-2 until an end of turn, but it also has kicker, sacrifice a creature, and then target creature gets -5/-5 instead.
Yeah, so I can see that having some functional play in, like, you know, in a deck with, like, Kitchen Finks or tokens.
Yeah,
And what other things can you sacrifice for values?
We're always hungry for sacrifice outlets in standard, and there's, like, that's not really a drawback in a lot of cases because you sacrifice for value for sure. Like, think about even all the corner cases. There's so many corner cases where, like, you're being attacked with a Wyrmcoil Engine, you block with a Kitchen Finks, and you sacrifice it before damage to, like, negate the life that they get.
Yeah. Also worth noting for standard, you can protect your Scarab Gods with this. So the way this works is even if your Scarab God is the only creature on the field, you can still protect it.
Yeah.
So they target it with a Vraska's Contempt. You can cast Vicious Offering, targeting your Scarab God, kicking it, sacrificing it, putting it in your graveyard, and then the Vicious Offering will be countered because it has no target. But your Scarab God will return to your hand and you'll negate the Vraska's Contempt.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, killing Hazoret is a big deal, too. You know,
that is also a huge deal. like so. having a two-handed removal spell that can kill like an early Earthshaker Kenra that also can kill Hazoret is a big deal. Unfortunately, you don't have a lot of creatures to sacrifice in the blue-black control deck, but in like the Grixis Energy deck, there's like a bunch of creatures that lay around. You can Pia and Kieran creates a Thopter, Warlord Virtuoso can make a Thopter, so you have these like different things that you can use as outlets to be able to kill Hazoret out of the Grixis Energy deck.
Minus X is like. So in a lot of cases, it's a very big upgrade to just destroying a creature that could otherwise like regenerate or is indestructible. So, looking at spells that can do that effectively, you have to kind of consider them in a different light.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, then there is. Oh, this is an interesting one too. I didn't see this, but I'll correct that. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. Okay, Knight of Malice. Knight of Malice seems like a potential modern player. One in a black. It's an uncommon human knight, first strike, hexproof from white, and it gets +1/+0 as long as any player controls a white permanent.
Yep.
I mean, a 3/2 for 2 with first strike already is very good. Protection, yeah. Hexproof from white just like puts it over the edge. I think that's a great sideboard card against white
knights. I think I would rather have just black knight.
You would?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Like, protection is extremely powerful. And I would rather give up. Actually, I would probably rather have the black Exalted Knight from like the M10s.
But this has hexproof from white. You heard that, right?
Yeah, I heard that. But protection is very different. Protection makes it unblockable, which is a
Right. Can't be the target of spells or abilities. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So like. I would think that I would rather want something that has actual protection.
Yeah.
So it can't be blocked by white creatures.
Yeah, I didn't consider that.
And kind of give up on the point of power. There is an Exalted, like, 2-1 from M something or other. It's a corset.
Mm-hmm.
There's Knight of Glory, and there's, I think it's Knight of Infamy. Check okay. here.
I know which ones you're talking, yeah, from one of the corsets, right? It's Knight of...
It is actually Knight of Infamy. I'm a freaking genius. it's a 2-1 for 2 protection from like Exalted. So it gives up first strike to have Exalted and be a 3-2. So if I wanted a 3-2, I would probably want this one. If I wanted first strike, I'd rather have Black Knight.
Yeah, this Knight of Infamy is modern legal. In fact, it's not seen play, but you're right. It's probably better because of the protection. I didn't consider Hexproof... That meaning that they could block it, they just can't target it. So protection is a bigger deal in that regard.
Yeah, which is why I'm kind of sad to see them do protection or hexproof from instead of just giving us protection.
Yeah.
Because like being unblockable is a very real resource.
I think it's maybe like hard to understand and frustrating to deal with for new players, and I think we might not see protection anymore at all.
I mean, I understand that, but protection is an ability that I don't think Magic would be better off without.
Wait, you don't think Magic would be better off? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That's fair. All right, so yeah, I guess maybe I have to step back on this one a little bit. That's a real real drawback.
Yeah, being blockable is very much a drawback.
This card's interesting. I just scrolled upon it here and. It's worth mentioning, Fungal Infection's kind of cool. One black for an instant, target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. Create a 1/1 green sapperling creature token. It's like, it may not be like good at all, but to have like a deck that wants to have no creatures, but like creature tokens, like this is one way to get that. Like if you're going to like try to polymorph a creature or something. This is a good like sideboard removal spell for those kinds of decks, or maybe main deck a couple of them. I don't know. It's very much like... Very narrow, but it's interesting.
Sure. I mean, like, if I'm trying to polymorph and I'm playing black, I'd rather play Bitter Blossom.
Yeah, Bitter Blossom.
And then if you're playing Bitter Blossom, just play Pepper Smoke.
Yeah, that's true. All right, anyways, I didn't really give that one much thought. I just saw it and thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool card. Might see standard play.
I mean, they pay me to just shoot you down at every juncture. That's the whole point.
All right, and this last one is a major question mark for me, but it seems interesting. 6 black black for a 7/6. This is Torgar Famine Incarnate.
Okay.
Legendary creature. I don't know what type it is. It doesn't say.
Avatar,
thank you. As an additional cost to cast a spell, you may sacrifice any number of creatures. This spell costs 2 less to cast for each creature sacrificed this way. When it enters the battlefield, up to 1 target player's life total becomes half their starting life total, rounded down. Alright. Yeah, I don't know about this guy. He's got an interesting effect. Anything with major cost reduction is cool. For some reason, I was thinking this guy had flying. It just seems like the type of card that has flying. It doesn't. But it's an opportunity to sacrifice creatures once again. Sacrificing 3 makes this a 2-mana 7/6 that deals, like, you know, potentially 10 damage to your opponent.
All right, so I'm going to stop you.
Go on.
And I'm going to name a card from another game that is basically what this card is. Alexstrasza,
yeah.
So for those of you that play Hearthstone or don't play Hearthstone, Alexstrasza is an 8/8 for 8 that makes target player's life total 15, which is half of your starting life total in Hearthstone. But the key there is it's either player, and it's regardless of what your life total is. And Torgard is the same thing. It says, you know, set you to 10, basically, in Standard, and 20 in Commander, 15 in Brawl. But it does it to either player. So if your opponent, like, attacks you down to 1, you can untap, play Torgard, and go to 10. Or you can play Torgard and put your opponent to 10 and have him on a 2-turn clock.
No, that's a good point. I didn't even consider it that way. That is insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, if you play a deck with creature tokens, like the white-black tokens deck with the one that makes a servo, and you sack creature scry one, or is it make a treasure? I can't remember. It's like white and a black. Hidden Stockpile.
Yeah, Hidden Stockpile. Good.
Does it make a servo or a treasure? I don't remember.
It makes a servo.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, like, if you have a bunch of servos laying around that you can sacrifice, you can put this guy into play and make your opponent's life total 10, or you can put this guy into play and make your own life total 10 and not die. So, like,
and you have a real blocker there then, too.
Yeah, you have something that can go on the offense or defense. I think it's pretty good in, like, modern black-white tokens. Like,
If you're going you
have Bitter Blossom, so if you just off of Bitter Blossom by itself, you can play this guy on turn 5. Mm-hmm. If you play a Lingering Souls or Bitter Blossom or Raise the Alarm, like, it looks like the fastest you can play this guy would be turn 4. Yeah. Because it's either Bitter Blossom, make a token, Lingering Souls, or it's Raise the Alarm, make a token off of something else, or it's Spectral Procession, make 3 tokens.
Yep.
And play this guy for black-black on turn 4 and have the ability to cast another 2-mana spell. This looks like a turn 4 play, whether it's tap out for it and just have 2 tokens and, like, sacrifice 2 tokens.
Stat-wise, it outclasses a lot of creatures in Modern.
I was just about to say, it's bigger than almost everything in Modern. And if your opponent doesn't have, like, a path or a terminate, I don't think there's anything in Modern that really kills it. It doesn't die to dismember.
Yeah, so it doesn't die to cast down.
You're correct. It does not die to cast down. You can actually play this on turn 4 if you play Bitter Blossom, because you can sacrifice both the tokens and then tap out to play this.
You could play it on turn 3 at the earliest.
Yeah.
If you're really, like, trying to get this out as soon as possible.
Yeah,
like,
if you, like,
one, like,
play a guy,
Mana Dark or something.
Yeah, turn 1, play a guy, turn 2, Lingering Souls, or Spectral Procession, or Raise the Alarm, and then just play this on turn 3.
Yeah.
This is a reasonably powerful effect. It's so unique, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, same. I think bringing your opponent's life total down to 10 is pretty good when you're going to go wide, but it's kind of counterproductive that you sacrifice 3 of your tokens to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe you just, like, obviously you're not going to do it for more than you need. So, like, in a black-white token deck, you're not going to want to, you know, just, like, sacrifice willy-nilly. Like, you don't need to, like, hold mana up for any purpose. You're just, like, play sorcery speed stuff all the time. So, if you have to sacrifice 1 token to make this guy 6 mana, that's pretty good. You know, 6 mana, 7/6, it deals 10 damage to your opponent is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is also probably a decent sideboard card, not necessarily a main board card. And you're just, like, boarding into the burn matchup. And you're just like, oh, I'm at 1. Well, now I'm at 10. Go.
Yeah. Now, question for you is, this making a player's life total a certain amount, does that count as life loss or life gain?
Yes.
It does. So there might be something there, too. And this is not a modern legal card, obviously, but there's like a false cure. Like, you, for every one life your opponent gained this turn, they lose two life instead. Things like that, that kind of take that, that really pay attention to the wording of life loss or life gain. There might be something there. I don't know. It's potentially a lot of life loss or life gain.
That's not unreasonable, yeah.
So, all right, man. That's all I got for black. Is there anything that you see in here that you want to talk about?
I mean, there's just this. There's cards that there's like a card that's not modern legal, or it's not gonna see modern play.
Uh huh.
But it's just super interesting.
Yeah.
And let me scroll through here and make sure there's nothing else. Yeah. There's two cards that are like that.
Okay.
One of them is Settle the Score, which is a 2BB sorcery. Exile target creature, put 2 loyalty counters on a planeswalker you control.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's not going to see play in Modern, but we've never seen a card that's specifically called out planeswalkers and loyalty counters.
And 2. Two's a lot.
2 is a lot of planeswalkers don't ever plus 2. And that is a lot. It speeds up the clock on a lot of your planeswalkers very, very quickly. So, like, I'm just going to pick a random planeswalker out of the air. Dovin Bond. Comes in at 3, you plus it to 4. You settle the score to 6, you plus it to 7. All of a sudden, 2 turns after you play Dovin Bond, your opponent's getting a static orb.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
If you look at Nicol Bolas, God Pharaoh, it's plus it to 9, settle the score, plus it again, and now you have the ultimate, the exile, all the crap.
I wouldn't necessarily rule this out from Modern because it's a 4-mana removal spell yet, because there's a lot of potential with this one. For example, turn 3 Liliana of the Veil, turn 4 Settle the Score, and ultimate, right?
That is a thing you can do.
Because Liliana ultimate does not necessarily win you the game, but that's enough advantage to make it... Like, the other Liliana's ultimate is even better, right? That one does win you the game.
Makes you 2 zombies. Is that coming at 4 or 5?
That one 3. Comes in at 3, I think.
So it goes 3 to 4 to 5 to 7. Because it ultimates to 7.
Yeah, it ultimates at 7. It comes in with 3. Yeah, it goes 3, 4, 5, 7. So it would be 2 turns after you play it, you could do this.
Yeah, and that does straight up win you the game.
Yeah.
It's impossible to beat that card. I've never made a Liliana emblem and lost.
Yeah. So maybe like a mono black like Liliana control deck, or even like a green black. Could throw one or two of these in there just for the fun that you can have with it.
Soren Solemn Visitor is also another one that's
a good one. Yeah.
You know, getting a free edict every turn. So like you play it, you can plus it, and then the next turn you cast that ultimate. So you know, like the turn after it comes into play, you get to have an edict every turn on your opponent.
Yeah.
Which is a non-zero thing, but like, you know, what cards are there that you're really getting an advantageous position from playing Settle the Score is what you'd have to figure out.
Yeah.
Well, flip Planeswalkers also probably interact well with this, like Jace, Vryn's Prodigy.
Yep.
Probably interacts very well with this because you can minus 3 to use Jace, Vryn's Prodigy to put 2 counters on Prodigy to be able to minus 3 the next turn. Things like that.
Yeah.
So
you could... Oh my gosh, in Standard you can get fancy with this and Jace Cunning Castaway, right? So you can ultimate Jace Cunning Castaway on 4, make 2 copies of Jace Cunning Castaway.
And put 2 counters on 1 copy of Jace Cunning Castaway?
You put 2 counters... Jace Cunning Castaway comes in with 3, you plus 1, the next turn you use this card, and then you can use his ultimate.
Make 2 copies. Okay, I see.
Yeah, and then use his ultimate 2 copies.
Yeah, I mean, these are things. I don't think they're good, but they're things.
Somebody's going to try that. I'm thinking of Planeswalkers in Modern that basically have abilities that win the game when their ultimate goes off. And like
Tezzeret, Ancient of Bolas.
Tezzeret is one. Chandra, Torch of Defiance is kind of one.
Yeah.
And that one starts with 5. You can go up to 7. You can do this on turn 5.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, red, red, black, black is kind of tough on your mana base, but you do have shock lands. So.
Right. Right. That's fine. Also.
And the other card that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to see any play anywhere. Is just Whisper Blood Liturgist. 3 and a black for a 2/2 legendary human cleric. Tap, sacrifice 2 creatures, Return target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun in Brawl, isn't it?
That's actually going to be a lot of fun in Brawl. You're going to reanimate our Alexstrasza-type friend.
Yeah.
And laugh at our opponents. Herald of Anguish is another good target. There are sweet ones. The Scare of God that you discarded? I don't know. Not in Brawl, but like... I don't know.
That may be the piece of the puzzle that makes like a Torgar like go wide tokens deck like really good. Yeah. Is it in Standard? I mean, if you can somehow like if there's some kind of mulch type effect, you know, that gets creatures in your yard, and then you can play like a Whisper Blood Liturgist, and then sacrifice some of your what was the card you mentioned before, that black and white enchantment?
Hidden Stockpile
tokens. Yeah, I don't know, man. Something cool like that. But
I like it. It's not good. Like, it's not insane. It's not going to see Standard play, I don't think. But it's just a nice... I like cards like this.
There are quite a lot of 4-mana 2/2s in this set, which is fine because it's like the removal is so good in Standard right now that it doesn't really matter what the stats of the creature are.
Yeah.
So the only thing now to consider is, like, does it die to Vicious Offering before they have to sacrifice a creature? Like, yes, this guy does.
Yeah, that's all I got. All
right, cool. Well, I think we ought to close out on that. We're going a little long today, but we will cover the rest of the colors next week and try to catch up on the things that we miss as they're spoiled as well. But we still got a lot to do. Red, green, golden artifact.
Yep.
So looking forward to it. All right, man. Well, thanks for talking with me. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Take it easy.
Card Knock Life is proud to be a part of mtgcast.com. We can be reached at cardknocklifepodcast.com or on Twitter at card_knock_life. We're always looking for more help in generating content for the website, and if you'd be interested in doing so, please email at cardknocklifepodcast@gmail.com.